Current Affairs Show provides a new scope for the details of politics.
Actually participated in the governorship election.
Roll out vaccination in forfeit.
Let's stay away from the sides of the story and go deeper, deeper together. Let's talk weekdays at 8 a.m.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info Abuja. Let's talk.
The Current Affairs Show.
Many thanks for staying with us right here on Nigeria Info 95.1. This is Morning Crossfire with Femde Live. My guest is in, and we're ready to ask the questions about his aspiration and even focus on the future of governance. With delights, I welcome to the studio with me this very morning, Mr. Jack Rich. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in. All right, let's start off the conversation this morning around the concept of the future of governance in Nigeria. But I'd like to start off by referring to a little bit about your background. I remember your story. You talked about being a young boy, 10-year-old, without parents, and fishing being one of the means of livelihood. And essentially, that made you beat you up into a problem solver. Let's talk about that and your background and how all this connects to the man that we're talking to right now.
Well, you know, basically the most important thing is to identify who you are and the essence of your existence. You can come through a lot of challenges, but again, that essence will enable you to identify ways of, you know, coming out of the issues and then build a strength that you can live your life with and be a motivation to others who are probably going through similar issues and all that. So my life has been a lot of struggle all through, and you know, I wouldn't say that it's been the worst. There are probably others going through, you know, worse situation than that. But I was privileged by God to come out of it and learn a great deal. And today, my vision is about giving back to society, and I've demonstrated that in my community and also other part of the country. And what I do right now is to, you know, pursue a higher office and then be the source of encouragement and motivation to others who think that, you know, help would never come, you know, irrespective of how much you try. So I'm here to motivate other youths, motivate others struggling, and also to let them understand that you know, hard work and God on your side, everything is possible. And for me, that's a new vision that I'm driving, and that's a new vision that we need to create for our young ones out there. We'll think that if I don't have any you know, rich father or rich uncle, or if society is not there for me, I'll never make it. So the best way I can show that I'm angry is to take to the left side of life, which I don't think is sustainable.
Mm. And you provide so much insight into your background. Sorry that I have to speak to you because of time, so we have to actually make do of, you know, to jump through some steps that may have been easy. But Mr. Rich, there's another fundamental question which any Nigerian would want to know, which is, why are you aspiring to be a Nigerian president?
Well, I think the most important thing is, having gone through what I went through, knowing that opportunities are there to be able to add my voice to the value chain of my great country, it's important that I take that responsibility. You know, Nigeria is a country that is seated on about 923,700 plus square kilometers, and we're a population that is going to be hitting over 222 million by 2023. And looking at what the global economic landscape is looking like, and due to a geopolitical uncertainty, it's important that we set the country on the right trajectory so as to mitigate those shockwaves that will hit the shores of Nigeria by 2023. And we're privileged to have a president, in person of President Muhammadu Buhari, that has given a platform to young, you know, dreamers like Jack Rich to showcase their content and their interest in terms of adding value to our national wellness. And I'm cashing into that by ensuring that the challenges of 2023, I come in and play a great role in setting the trajectory right. The global economy right now is sitting at over $83 trillion, and continental Africa accounts for about 3% of that, so you see it's marginal. And in that 3%, which is about $2.6 trillion thereabout, Nigeria accounts for about 19.8%. So we are pretty low. We're struggling around. We've been around a multi-billion dollar economy. And by 2023, the challenges will go a lot worse because inflation will hit the shockwaves of continental Africa, and Nigeria would not be an exception. So to mitigate that and deal with the population surge that we're having that is growing at over 5.5 million every single year, if you do nothing to provide the right microeconomic enablers to establish key economic footprints in geopolitical zones and states through the collaboration within the federal and state government, we will have a huge social issues because we have a young population that are not engaged. So if you don't have the policy nuance in putting together the right economic master plan, then we'll have a lot of problems. So I'm coming in because I know that these issues are there, and I have the cutting edge skills in terms of how to create engines of microeconomic growth at the micro level, and also to put in place the right platform and framework to engage our youth so that employment there'll be a boom in employment to engage this youth so that we can have what I call stable social wellness.
You do come from a region in the country, Niger Delta, and one of the interesting things about the Niger Delta region is when it comes to jobs, when it comes to education, it's a little bit different because of the challenges over the years that have gone on. And it's of interest as well that you've been quite successful as a oil professional, as a technocrat in that field for, if I'm right, about 24 years or thereabout, and that's you being at the age of 47 at the current time as we speak. It brings forward a very interesting question about your concept of what local government and what locals and communities can do. You have asserted at some point in time about 5% oil revenue to local areas. Do you think that is feasible?
Well, if you look at the quantum of oil theft as a result of what I call some feeling of non-inclusion, you will agree with me if you run the numbers that 5%, you know, shared across, you know, wards, you know, that's a structure, political structure that we have in the country, will go a long way in dousing a lot of the social issues that has triggered banditry and kidnapping in the Northwest, and that has also triggered, you know, different militia groups springing up in the Northeast, and also farmers' headers clashes in the North Central. Not only that, it will also go a long way in helping the people of the Niger Delta who are talking about environmental emancipation and economic inclusion, and also separatist groups that are struggling around the Southeast, and those who are talking about the Dodua in the Southwest. That will go a long way in creating that sucker that, you know, communities are struggling with in terms of social unrest. So the key thing is that stimulus. So I believe strongly that if you look at the enormous amount of thefts that we're recording in the oil and gas industry, 5% is nothing compared to the value that is going to create nationally. So my strategy, having been a strong player in the region, hands-on player in the oil and gas industry, and also playing in the region, I know that 5% saving is nothing compared to the enormous amount of, you know, loss that is being recorded, and how that can also trigger, you know, societal wellness, and also enable the youth to get jobs, and also have families and widows, children of widows, to also dream big by accessing this stimulus that these wards will have as a result of the value that oil and gas has gotten.
One of the interesting things when people putting together ideas which they would run on and sell to the electorates down the line is they often make a lot of commitments. Electorates often remember that. One of the things you've talked about, essentially, to get people interested in your line of aspiration is about 26,000 jobs, some commitment, possibly within the first 100 days. Is that really feasible?
Well, I believe it's feasible. You know, listen, we will be in 2023, we're going to be having a population of about 222 million. And if you look at the data that says about 78% of the population is dependent, that's over 174 million Nigerians. Now, the working age population is within, 15 to about 6 to 4. So if you look at the working age population and the number in that population that is currently engaged, you will recognize that the numbers I'm talking about is nothing compared to the huge number that is currently unengaged. And I believe strongly that that number is doable. 26,000 in every local government area, helping women and youth to have access to some trainings and skills so they can be part of the value chain in those local communities. Not only that, we also collaborate with state government because we're taking it at a local government level. So the state and local government can be brought into that into that value chain such that they can be part of the strategic engine that drives the local economy. And I also talked about, creating new economic pipelines within the north and the south, dredging the River Niger all the way up north towards the, Adamawa axis of the Norman River, and then towards the Jeba Niger axis within the north central, and then creating it all the way to Lokoja, Makurdi, and also Nature. So dredging that those river line alone will create massive amount of jobs because there will be a lot of marine equipment deployed, earth-moving equipment deployed. There will be survey crew working here and there. So we have to just look for a way to engage these youth. Not only that, a lot of these guys trained, especially in the Niger Delta, will be used as smart, oil field workers. We can be involved in cleanup, cleaning the environment, managing waste and all these things. We just need to think about, ways to engage these youths, because right now they are angry because they are not engaged. So we must devise a means to engage our teeming population. Otherwise, we will engage them spending a lot of money that we really don't have.
Hmm. Let's talk about your political alignment for a moment. Technocrats that have ventured into political office, said as governors, some even vying for presidents, they've not really had a good time because the playing field in Nigeria when it comes to politics is quite tedious. It's resourceful. It involves money. It involves structure. It involves a lot of things. You have chosen a political alignment with the All Progressive Congress. How does that make you have an advantage, or does it put you in a position of advantage at all?
Well, absolutely. I love APC because, it's a party for the progressives. It's a party for innovators like Jack Rich. It's a party for the next generation that we all belong to. And it's a party that believes strongly in your ability to creatively, be part of the innovative structures that can give you that, what I would call a sustainable, future. And I believe strongly that we're blessed to have a president like President Muhammadu Buhari, who believes in the youth. And a lot of time he'd always advise the youth to get himself prepared for leadership. There's none other party where you can have such a platform to showcase your ability and capability. So Jack Reed is seeing APC as a smart party for the progressives, and I believe strongly that the APC is a party that any smart person or dreamers can actually come in and pursue their dream and realize it. In terms of structure, I've been there behind the scenes since 2014, and I became a little bit prominent in 2019, or visible in 2019. And the party is also looking for smart innovators who can come in and bring value to Nigeria. Nigeria is giving back to all of us, but we will give back to political parties to showcase our interests and deliver the best for the wellness of our republic. So I know that a lot of people are saying that, oh, you just came in new, you've not been in politics before, you've not been a governor or held in a political office. But it's all about, policy. So I'm a person who is pretty much strong in terms of policy nuance and all that. And I also produce what a couple of these elected officers consumes and spends. So I'm a producer, and all I need is vertically integrate the value chain so that we can make the right policies and support it with the right legislation to promote the wellness of our country and our citizens. That's what we need. A strong domestic policy that we can build on, and then put up all the relevant engines and mechanics that can give government that facelift to deliver the best and, promote a sustainable society and usher our country into the frontiers of economic surplus.
Okay, we're pressed for time, but I'll ask Godin's question. Godin from Area 11 is asking, he's saying, what will you do differently from the current government to stabilize electricity, agriculture, security, corruption, and economy?
Well, so I talked about different economic pipelines that I'm going to put in place in the north and south. So if you're within the northeastern part of the country, you're going to be having river ports around there. So we'll open up the river, expand it, dredge it. So that will create a lot of technical jobs, marine-related technical jobs, so that a lot of the youth can go in there and then get ourselves a living.
What about security?
And also, as part of the security strategy, is that you have to engage the youth. We have to create jobs for the youth so that they won't be hanging around and thinking about what to do and getting angry like society has abandoned them. So my strategy for security is to ensure that we create massive employment opportunities, get the youth trained, and let them have access to technologies and have access to basic skills to operate equipment, and also be part of the key economic value chain of the society.
Mm.
And also, part of my strategy is also to ensure that to do all these things, we have an enormous amount of oil and gas resources that is being wasted in the Niger Delta. We believe strongly that we can harness the gas energy that we're burning there, mm-hmm. and then create microgrids where necessary in line with state economic master plan.
Okay.
And then also pursue renewable energy. That's where the youth will really be pretty much happy. They like technology. They like Anson. Into having the modern day skills and nuance so they can be part of the value chain of the society.
At this point, I have to say we need to do another interview. Let's see what the primaries unveil. But a big thanks to you, Mr. Jackridge, a technocrat, philanthropist. I was going to go into your philanthropy, but time limits wouldn't allow me to talk about that. Technocrat, philanthropist, and presidential aspirant on the platform of the All Progressive Congress. We wish you the best with the primaries.
Thank you very much, and I also want to use this opportunity to speak to our delegates that are listening, that you need to vote in the right chap, the right man that can provide jobs for you, the right man that understands what you're going through, the right man that won't just talk to talk, but can walk the walk.
Exciting and stimulating talk. Stimulating talk. Nigeria Info. Your number one for talk. Let's talk.